Welcome to Mission Minded, the podcast where we explore outside-the-box thinking and carrying out the Great Commission. On this week's episode, we are joined by Joshua Chang of Green Window Ministries. Now here's our host, Jim Tingler.
Hi, I'm Jim Tingler, and welcome back to the iTech Podcast. We're here at iTech Studios, and today our special guest is Joshua Chang. Hey, Joshua.
Hi, morning, or thank you for having me here.
Hey, no, thank you. It's always a pleasure to have you, and just hanging around iTech every now and then. We're thankful that you live close to here, but even though you come in and around iTech, you're a part of another ministry. And what can you tell us a little bit about the ministry you're involved in and maybe how that got started?
Oh, yeah. Yes, actually, I'm close because I live in Dunellen. I live actually really close to iTech. I would like to come here as often as I could, but my other ministry I'm involved, it's called Green Window Ministry. We started this Green Window Ministry 5 years ago when I came to the States back from South America, more specifically from the Amazon jungle in Brazil. What is Green Window? Green Window is the green area of the world. If we divide the world in two, there is southern and northern hemisphere. And in this area, the equator divides the world in two. And in that area, 23 point north and 23 point south of that area is the geographically, the tropical rainforest of the world, which is green. And we believe where there's green, there are indigenous native people living there. So that's where the Green Window Ministry actually is doing his ministry.
Right. And so specifically unreached people groups, there's a ton of unreached people groups in that area you mentioned.
Yes. When we're talking about tribal groups, they are unreached, probably unengaged, a lot of them. And we might be surprised because the number, we don't know the exact number, but so far we are counting like 2,200 tribal people group living in this area.
Wow. So for those of you who don't know who you are and how you got to that point, I think it's pretty unique. You're Korean, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and so you came to the U.S. and then went to Brazil, and then can you take us a little bit
actually,
of a background?
It's a long story, but let me try to shorten that in a nutshell.
Okay.
I am a Korean born, like in South Korea. Okay. But my parents, they were North Koreans. They fled North Korea from the war. So I was born in South Korea. But when I was young, like 7 years old, my father, my parents decided to go to Bolivia, South America. And then from Bolivia to Brazil. And from Brazil to the States, where I became a resident and eventually became a U.S. citizen. I did my studies here, and then I became a pastor, and God calls me to go to South America to work with indigenous people. So I've been a missionary with indigenous people for about 20 years now.
Wow. And so you speak a few languages as well.
Yeah, because you lived in those countries, so I speak Korean, Spanish, Portuguese, a little bit of English.
A little bit of English, yeah. Well, awesome. So, you know, I think a lot of people want to be involved in work that would be reaching unreached people groups. As, you know, that's part of our calling. The Great Commission, we're wanting to go out. And so what led you down this journey of specifically focusing on this Green Window? Obviously, you live there, but you're bringing awareness of this Green Window and of these unreached people groups. And so could you just tell us how that got started?
Yeah, when God called me to go to South America, in the beginning, I thought I was going to work with young people in the big cities because I was a youth pastor for about 13 years. So, you know, God is going to use all that. But that was my thought. When I got there, God specifically led us to work with indigenous people. It wasn't easy, but throughout those years, I noticed something that a lot of indigenous tribal groups in Brazil are not reached yet. Mm-hmm. Even though Brazil is considered one of the most Catholic countries, and mm-hmm. The population of evangelicals are growing so fast, mm-hmm. like more than 45 million are Christians in Brazil. Wow. But with that number, like many Christians, how come there are still more than 100 tribal groups who never heard the gospel? So those things led me to investigate a little bit more. And, you know, there's not only indigenous people, tribal groups in the Amazon. We noticed that in Africa, in Southeast Asia, all over the world where there's green, where there's a forest, where there's a jungle, there are tribal groups. So that led us into more deeper investigation, and we end up coming here to raise awareness to the churches, mobilize the churches, and our logo and Green Window is connect the body of Christ where the church is, to build the body of Christ where the church is not. So we are working with that motivation to mobilize the churches and connect where there is needed.
Wow, that's awesome. So you said you started getting involved with the tribal groups, and so what did that look like? What did getting involved and learning more and meeting these people, how did that look?
Yeah, in the beginning, you don't know how to begin, of course, but we've been waiting, and God has opened doors to work with the already established indigenous organizations such as COMPLE, which is a National Council of Indigenous Pastors in Brazil. Hmm. And COMPLE is comprised by more than 1,000 pastors and indigenous leaders in Brazil. Hmm. So I began serving them. And by serving this organization, God opened more doors. And indigenous people are not easy to work with, or tribal people are not easy, because the challenges are like cultural challenges, geographical challenges, political challenges, and yet another big challenge that we face today, because so many mission organizations are working towards tribal people groups, then we have a denominational or missional challenge as well. So it wasn't very easy.
So working with COMPLE, and that's still going, that organization?
Yes, COMPLE has been growing since, it was established 25 years ago.
Okay.
And today they have a reach of all South America, helping indigenous groups in other countries that are in the Amazon to make up their own networks so that they can work together. So our vision, as their vision as well, is that the indigenous people need to become their own missionaries to reach their own people.
Wow.
That's the goal.
Wow. So I know there's a lot to that. And so if you were, you know, trying to encourage a church, you know, how do you get involved with something that seems like a, I guess, a just huge task? What would you encourage somebody to maybe look at or start exploring?
Well, like any missionary will do when he visits a church, will of course present. Mm-hmm. But in our case, we are not a mission agency that we send missionaries or train missionaries to go and engage. But we do work with three E's, which are engage, empower, and encourage. So whenever I visit churches, I try to present these three E's so that we can involve in missions. Why engage and empower and encourage is important? Because without engaging, you don't know what's going on. God could save us without sending Jesus, because He's all-powerful. Mm. And He knows everything. He knows you. He knows me. He could say, Joshua, I'm going to save you November 12th at 9 a.m. He could do that. Mm. But instead, He chose to send His own Son to engage with us. So if we want to do missions without engaging, that's going to be impossible. We have to engage. By engaging, we know what our daily problems and difficulties are. Mm. If you are engaging, then you know what their needs is. Mm-hmm. And then you start working with the local people, how to empower them so that they can be the main characters, the lead actors of these missions in their own context. Because nowadays in tribal groups, it's better for you, a tribal member, to be a missionary than a foreigner to go there, because a lot of complications. And then if you're empowered and you're involved in missions, we are all human beings. We get discouraged, we have difficulties and, you know, ups and downs. Mm-hmm. That's why we need encouragement. I think that's what Jesus did when he said to the disciples, I have to go so I can, so I can send the Parakletos, which is the encourager, the Holy Spirit. Hmm. And in the same way, we can encourage. We don't need to be there all the time, but then by maintaining communication and encouraging them, then they can continue on doing missions.
Wow. So there's a lot to that. And I think that's where an organization like Green Window that you work with can maybe start bridging some of those gaps. It would be difficult for a church that's in a community anywhere across, you know, the United States to start building a relationship directly with a tribal group, but maybe reaching out to you would be a good way to start information.
That's right, because that's why we say we are the connecting people. Mm-hmm. We don't do things, but we connect. If the church here or anywhere is connected to the church down there, then they can work together. So together is really good. I mean, I think together is a powerful word that today we need to work in missions. So if they contact us and we have programs and trips made up and people who they want to meet and places they want to go, we can go together. And we have a lot of partners, lots of partners, mm-hmm. that they are, such as iTech as well. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get involved in a project that other people are already doing, we don't need to create anymore. Mm. So we can join together and join forces to work for the kingdom of God.
Amen. Right on. So do you have any stories from down, you know, South America, anywhere? Just what does that church look like? What is a tribal church, you know, that we would be encouraging to go and reach and unreach? What does that look like? I know it doesn't look like, I guess, our North American right. perspective of a local church.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we talk about church, we're talking about two aspects. The structural aspect and the mm-hmm. functional aspect. I believe the church needs to be functional. Mm-hmm. Any church, anywhere in the world, the church needs to be functional. It's organic. It belongs to God. So it needs to function as the kingdom of God present in this world. Mm-hmm. But as missionaries, and I'm talking about myself as well in the beginning, we did a lot of mistakes because we tried to bring the structural church. Mm. Which is, you know, like four walls, a tin roof, you know, like a cross there, and the structural. And even the structure within the structure, which is, you know, like pastor, senior pastor, elders and Presbyterians, and all this within the denominations that they bring their churches. I think we need to think over. And if we want to engage church to church, we need to forget about our structure and start looking their structure. That's why engaging is important. Mm. If we see their structure, it's different. Mm. But their function needs to be the same because we are under the same God. Jesus is the head of the church and we are serving God. Mm. So I think these two aspects are different. But you can only know when you come. So I invite you and others to come and see how we can engage together for the church to be.
Awesome. Yeah. So just thinking, I'm sure you've been, you know, involved in a lot of different trips, a lot of different places. Are there any stories that come to mind when you think of that local church and mm-hmm. and trying to reach out, and maybe just to give a context for somebody that might be listening?
Yes. In fact, 5 years ago, a young Ticuna from Colombia came to me in one of the meetings and he said, Pastor, I need you to come to my place. Mm. And I went to that place and he showed me a huge field and he said, I'm going to build a church here. And I immediately thought, oh, this guy is asking me to build a church. And I was telling him, well, you know, I don't build churches. You know, you have to ask other guys because I don't build churches. And he told me, no, I don't want you to build the church. We are going to build our church here, our way, our cultural way. So I was like kind of surprised. And how are you going to do that? Well, we need money, of course. And he said, I need to start a business here so we can have income so we can build our church. That has been like breakthrough. So that's when our Green Window Ministry began working these projects of empowering the locals so that they can do their own missions and build their own churches. Now, this guy, his name is Lucio, he built his church. Like, it's not a structural church, of course. It's just like not even walls. They don't have walls. It's like a community center. What we did with them is that we helped them with seed money to begin their farinha business, which is mandioca, they call it. Yuca for us, you know, cassava. And they roast that, and he began to sell enough money to build a church. But now, with that, they already gave that machinery to another place in another community. Mm-hmm. So the church is thriving there. They already have sent 4 missionaries to 2 different places. Hmm. I mean, I think that's the way God wanted missions to be. Because if you disciple and the disciples disciple, that's what's going to happen.
It's multiplication.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's the story that God wants to hear from us. Not that I did something,
right,
but then everybody is doing their share.
So what would be the harm in just sending the money down, you know, to help them start the church? What could be a problem?
You know, I used to say this, missions, you don't do because you have money. Many of us, we think, oh, I have money, so I'm going to do missions. That's not how it's done. You don't do missions with money. You don't do missions because you have money. But you need money to do missions, because going is a trip, you know, like you need missions, everything. But when we send money, just money, then that's a problem. Because people would think that, oh, if I talk to Jim Tingler, he gives me money. Then we become dependent on that.
Right.
But if we bring money in the case that there is need for resources,
right,
then a planification, like a plan with them, with the locals, and see what they are bringing to the table and what we can bring to the table. And we are all working together. In that case, that money is healthy money. Right. So they are not only dependent on whatever outsiders can bring, but they are all working together. They are pitching in, and we are also pitching in with what we can.
Right. And so that's walking with and walking together.
Yes.
Yeah. And so you mentioned trips and getting involved with some of these churches, and that would be an example of what that might look like.
Yes.
Maybe walking and brainstorming with that church and how they can create a business. And you mentioned some seed money to help get that started. But I also know you've been involved in some of the training as well, and finding professionals in different worlds that different fields that might be able to go down and support the development of that local church.
Right. Well, you know, like, needs everywhere are almost the same and yet different. Different because the contexts are different. That's why things that work here in the States may not work down in the Amazon.
Right.
One of the things I say always is that, you know, if you see a man who is hungry, you can give him a fish to eat, right? And that has been the paradigm. But if you help this person, teach this person to fish, he will not go hungry for a long time. And yet, I say one more thing. Don't teach how to fish unless you know there's fish in the river. Because a lot of us today, of this old paradigm, we're just coming with our fishing rods and teaching them, presupposing that they have fish. In some communities, they may not have fish. Fish is of course analogical here, but when you see places, you want to work with somebody, but you don't know what's the problem there.
Right.
You cannot just bring your fishing rod and teach them, you know, my fishing rod is the best.
Right.
So we need to engage with the people to see what the real need is,
which takes time. It takes relationships and
trips
trips and listening, you know, listening to what their what their need is, and not coming up with the idea, you know, as you said, bringing our fishing rods thinking that's going to be the solution. But
Well, anybody there, if you bring something, they will take it, whether it's needed or not.
Right.
Because somebody outside is bringing to them.
Yeah. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it is a journey of walking together. Mm-hmm. I think in a lot of ways, the National Church could encourage our church, and our church being the church in the United States, to be more intentional and maybe not get caught up in this is the way we've always done it.
Oh, yeah.
And so I know that in a lot of ways it's walking together, and you've learned a lot of things from being in different countries. And one of the things that our team has benefited from is what you call meetings at your house.
Yeah.
And so you've become quite the cook traveling internationally and coming back and you know, tell us about how you learned to cook and your passion for that.
I guess if you, thank you for saying that I cook well.
Yeah.
Of course, you already tasted.
Yeah.
But a good cook is only good when he also eats well. I mean, you go to mission trips and some people cannot eat the food they're offered. It's really hard. I know, it's not easy. Because sometimes you're giving food that you have never even thought about that existed.
Right.
I've been in places where they give food that has been like 3-4 days unrefrigerated, and then already creating maggots. Do you have to eat it? Well, at least you have to start eating it unless they will know. So by doing that, you kind of grow taste in everything, in food. So some foods are good rotten, some foods are not. When we talk about meat, it's different.
Now hold on, you said some foods are good rotten?
Yes.
Interesting.
Well, I'm Korean. Koreans, they do a lot of rotten food, you know? They go bad, yeah, and that's, yeah, good.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's, yeah. So what would be an example of that?
Like a Koreans called kimchi.
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
Do you know about kimchi?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a Chinese cabbage, and that's rotten actually.
Right. Yeah.
It smells bad too.
Yeah. It starts fermenting a little bit.
Yeah. It ferments a lot. Yeah. Yeah. The more fermented, the better. And when you eat that, actually, it's really good for your digestive system.
Okay.
Yeah. You should try sometimes.
Actually, yeah, I have tried it. It's pretty good. It is surprisingly good.
So, yeah.
Okay, I'm tracking with you. But you said maggots on the food, and you lost me at that. So.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's not what you were talking about.
No.
Okay. Yeah. That's not the rotten.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, not that kind of rotten. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
More like fermented.
Okay.
I'll change that word. More fermented.
There you go. Okay. Good. Well, hey, we appreciate it, and we appreciate the work you're doing, Joshua. And if somebody wanted to learn more about the Green Window, where would they go? How would they find
that? Well, we do have a website, informational website, greenwindowministries.org.
Okay.
And we have some articles there. We have some projects there. You can go and let us know.
Okay.
You can contact us, and we're right here in Florida, Central Florida.
Right.
If your church is around here, you know, invite us, and we can just visit you and chat some more.
So you'd go visit a church, talk a little bit more, maybe about, you know, the Green Window, not your organization, but just trying to bring awareness.
Yes.
Of you know, this tribal group. So that's part of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Is bringing awareness, and then if church wants to get involved in trying to reach the unreached tribal groups, they could talk with you about
that's right. Yeah. Green Window Ministry is what we do in South America, and of course we're trying to expand it to the world, but Green Window is the area.
Right.
So if we want to mobilize the church, not necessarily, you don't need to work with me in order to go to the Green Window. I'm not the guy to work that. But then there's a lot of missionary agencies and organizations who are doing this ministry.
Right.
And I am just there to raise awareness that this window exists there.
Right.
And a lot of people are ignoring it, or because they don't know.
And well, so many know about the 1040 window.
Oh, right.
And so you're saying that, what is it, 28 degrees north?
Yeah. So, if you follow that window paradigm, right? This green window is the area of the rainforest of the world.
Okay.
So it's 23.5 north latitude of the equator and south of the equator. So that whole area, it's big. But we have at least 35 countries whose territory is covered at least by 20% of the jungle in their landmass.
Wow.
So we are considering these countries to be our target and see the tribal people groups existing there.
Awesome. Well, Joshua, thank you for the work that you're doing. And thanks for joining us today. And I hope people will follow up and learn more about the Green Window. And so thank you for joining us. I encourage you to check out the Green Window. We'll have information linked to being able to get to his website and additional information as well. We appreciate you joining us here at iTech for the podcast, and we'll look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Mission Minded. For more information on today's topic and show notes, please visit our website, itechusa.org.